Hello and welcome back once again to the Remedial Magic Podcast. My name's Brady, and as always, co-hosting with me are my brother Baylor and our good friend Delbert. And guys, we are back with another special episode. Is it episodes and podcasts?
I'm not sure.
Another special edition.
Okay.
Of the Remedial Magic Podcast. The most special edition we've had so far, because we are going to be discussing our kind of our background with fan fiction, how we got into it, our thoughts on fan fiction. And then, more importantly, Delbert has written his own fan fiction that he's going to read for us.
Excuse me.
To listen to. And just then Baylor and I will read ours as well.
Oh, I see.
We've all written a very short piece of fan fiction just to dip our toes in the water a little bit, you know, to test out our creative writing skills. And I have to tell you, I've never been nervous to record the podcast until now.
Yeah. I will say, I thought I got conned right there. I thought it was going to be just me. And that'd be a real shame, because then the listeners wouldn't get to hear from the guy with the Masters of English, Brady, over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Masters
Excellent.
In English. I taught middle school science. I don't know, Baylor, how are you feeling about this this very special episode of the podcast?
I'm afraid that my really, what I think is a really good idea, because of my poor execution, I really just sucked at it. And so I'm sure it'll be absolutely horrendous.
That has to be the worst part, right? I think that's also my biggest apprehension, is that I feel like I've written something that's relatively coherent and could be interesting to a small percentage of people out there. And I'm afraid I'm going to read it and you're both going to go, well, thanks for trying.
Yeah, I mean, I was considering putting out like a $10 ad on Fiverr to see what I could get out of that, but it's just not good either way.
It's gonna be a fun one. I think the difference in preparation here is interesting as well. Delbert, you wrote yours over a week ago.
Now, listen. You claimed as we walked in that you wrote yours an hour ago.
It's true, I did.
I wrote mine an hour before last week's podcast, thinking that that's when we were gonna need it, and I didn't really edit it until we walked into the studio.
Baylor, how long ago did you write yours?
Yeah, I also wrote mine shortly before last week's episode, because I was in the process of moving, one, and then also kind of didn't really know which direction I wanted to go. And I'm not going to lie to you, I wrote it in probably 30 minutes in anticipation of needing it last week, but then I didn't use it. And I haven't looked at it since, so we'll see how it goes.
So what you guys are saying is that if mine is worse than yours, it makes sense, because you've been working on them for over a week and I haven't.
Listen, I'd say roughly the amount of time put into mine is equal to your time.
At any rate, it should be pretty fun, actually. While I am nervous to read my own, I am excited to hear what you two have come up with. And this is, I think, going to be a bit more of a fast and loose episode compared to what we normally come up with, because we're normally pretty analytical and thinking pretty deeply about the content, and I think today we're going to be laughing at each
other.
This
might be a mess.
Yeah.
yeah, probably our lowest rated episode, I would guess.
You know, fan fiction has always been an interesting thing, I think, in general. Delbert, you and I got started on fan fiction on the same story. Baylor, I can't really remember if you got started on the same story as us, but we started with Nightmares of Futures Past.
I did, yeah. I think Delbert sent it to me, because you guys always talked about it, and I was like, oh, I better get in this noise, you know? And that was definitely the first story I read about it.
It's interesting. You know, that's a fan fiction that never got finished, and apparently there's some problematic things going on with the person who wrote it.
You know, I looked into it like a year and a half ago, and I honestly thought the person might have passed during the COVID pandemic, because they had put out some information about having some medical issues right when COVID was at its peak, and then they didn't post anything for like 8 months after that. But since then, they have posted again, so I think they're all right. I don't know if they plan on finishing the fan fiction, though.
It's just, that's where we all got started, and I have to say, And I want to get your guys' thoughts on it too. But prior to reading that, and I honestly don't know where I discovered that, how I decided to read something like that. But prior to reading that, my thoughts about fan fiction were way different than they are now.
Agreed.
I would also agree.
Honestly, and I guess I'm not really ashamed because it is what it is, but my thoughts on fan fiction leading up to reading Nightmares of Future Past and then all the fan fiction I've read since then were that it was probably something super cringy and really weird. And honestly, I thought it was like something people would write just so they could live out their fantasy of the characters they wished had gotten together would get together. So for me, discovering Nightmares of Future Past being a fully fleshed out story with novel length ideas was a big shock considering what I thought about it before. But I want to hear what you guys thought too, because I know that there's people who discover fan fiction just because they're interested in getting more from the universe of whatever the fan fiction is they're reading.
I know for me personally, I always thought fan fiction was like the easy way out when writing a story, especially before Nightmares of Future Past, because I was in the mindset where fan fiction could never be as good as the original series because they're just using, you know, all of the work that the original author put in the book, or they're making their own that'll never be canon because it's fan fiction. And so I was like, there's no point in reading it because I know that, for example, the Harry Potter universe, I know the Harry Potter universe and I know, you know, the rights and wrongs of it. And I don't want that to change because I enjoyed Harry Potter so much. But, and then even like Nightmares of Futures Past, a great fan fiction. And honestly, I'm pretty tempted to go read it again just because it's been so long. I still kind of had that mindset after reading it. And that was just because I was like, you know, a lot of the stuff that the guy was saying in that book, not trying to spoil anything for anybody, I felt at the time was because he knew obviously what happened during the original series. And so I was like, oh, he's just doing the stuff that conveniently works out in the better way, you know? I don't think I feel that way now, and that's kind of why I want to go back and reread it, because, you know, especially after AQ, my feelings have changed dramatically. But I always thought fan fiction was just like a pipe dream, and I was like, these guys are lazy. You know, I don't know. I honestly didn't really give it the time of day like I should have back in the day.
Right. I think my biggest mistake with fan fiction is for years I had heard the term fan fiction and I think I just mixed it up with headcanon. I didn't even realize that fan fiction was something that was written that was out there for other people to read. I just thought it was people's theories on things that had happened, or in another universe, this is what would have happened with Ludo Bagman or stuff like that. So I didn't even really know that this stuff existed until Nightmares of Futures Past.
It's really interesting to hear you say, especially what you're saying, Baylor, about how you initially thought it was for kind of just people who wanted the easy way out, who wanted to tell a story but have everything built for them. Because one of our good friends, all three of us, refuses to read fan fiction on that premise. He, every time we have suggested Alex Quick to him, his response has been, if they're going to put so much effort into writing a story, why not write an original novel? And since I've gotten into fan fiction, my response to that has changed a little bit, because now if you look at Alexander Quick, this is not the work of somebody who wanted the easy way out. This is the work of somebody who took a setting that's already established and then wrote an entirely original story within that. And there's authors that are publishing their own works and selling books and making money doing that exact same thing. Original stories in a setting that somebody else built for them. And so it's just interesting that that's where you were too. And I'm glad that you were open enough to give it a shot and try it out.
Yeah. And even what you're saying there too, Brady, when he talks, I think we're all a little bit frustrated, because I think we all think our mutual friend would enjoy these a lot if he actually gave it the time. But what is original? I mean, Game of Thrones has been a remarkable sensation in the world culture, but that's basically a rip off of Lord of the Rings, if you want to look at it that way. I mean, 50 Shades of Grey was massive for a few years, and I'm pretty sure that was written as a fan fiction for the series Twilight. So, like, even though something might not be entirely original, doesn't mean the story is not worth reading.
Yeah, and I mean, especially, like, this series, I mean, even though we've only read the first book, this series is as true to that as it could be. I mean, speaking with Sam, you know, doing our own kind of deep dive into the characters and everything, like, we can see how much work Inverarity put in to, you know, doing the research and then taking, yes, like, Harry Potter existed, obviously, but taking that world and completely making it a different world in the USA. And I know we've discussed in the finale and before that honestly did some things way better than JKR ever did them.
It's true. And I just wanted to ask you guys also, because I think this is something that even still I'm a little bit guilty of, but were you guys ever embarrassed to tell people you were reading a fan fiction, or even embarrassed to tell people you were making a podcast about a fan fiction? Because even now, when people ask me what this podcast is about, people that I know, at least, I'm a little bit sheepish sometimes to say, well, it's about a fan fiction. And part of it is because people just don't know what fan fiction is, really. When you say it's about a fan fiction, a lot of people go, excuse me, what is that? You know, or
yeah,
I feel like people have the same reactions we had initially about fan fiction too. So I was just wondering if you guys were ever embarrassed to tell somebody that you read fan fiction and how that's changed, because I'm not embarrassed about it at all now. I'm happy to tell people that this is what I'm reading and I think you should read it too.
I remember when we first started this podcast, like, people would ask me, I think Hallie or my wife Hallie would ask, you know, what's the podcast about? And then her sister would ask, and you know, our family would ask Brady, and I was like, oh, it's a podcast about Harry Potter. And that's like what I would leave it as.
Yeah.
And then as time's gone on, I'm like realizing, oh, this fan fiction probably could be a standalone, you know, series. And so now people ask and I'm like, oh, it's about Harry Potter fan fiction. There's this great series called Alexander Quick and all that stuff. And honestly, it wasn't that I was like embarrassed that we were doing the podcast. It just, I was kind of along the same lines. I was like, people aren't going to know what fan fiction is, because I honestly didn't even know what fan fiction is, what fan fiction was when we started the podcast. And so I honestly just kind of avoided it and didn't even try to, face it at all when it first started, I guess.
I would say embarrassment for me wasn't really the term, since I was pitching it at work to people I was helping in phone service. However, I will say, I think you're right when you're saying people don't know what it is. And even on top of that, I think for the most part, fan fiction is delivered to the masses in the wrong way. After we read Nightmares of Futures Past, I went to go look for more fan fiction. So I went to Google, I typed in Harry Potter fan fictions, and there was a site that had like the top 50 Harry Potter fan fictions ever written. And I think the worst part about it was going onto that website expecting to find a lot of great stories and everything, and finding that they were listed not by what the story was about, not by the type of book it is or anything, but by who's getting shipped together. And to me, I just could not care less about that. I don't care if Hermione and Draco are ending up together at the end of the book. I don't care if Luna and Percy Weasley end up together. I just want to know what has a good story and read it for that, not for the relationship pairing.
It's a really interesting point that you bring up. You know, I agree that I just don't care about that. I'm not into romance novels at all anyways. But on top of that, when I seek out a Harry Potter fan fiction, I don't want the main premise to be what would have happened if Harry fell in love with Luna instead of Ginny. You know, I want more world building, and I want to know more about what happened before Harry Potter or what happened after Harry Potter. And I think that there's a big misconception out there, probably because of websites like that, Delbert, that if you're reading Harry Potter fan fiction, it's because you want to read Harry Potter smut, or you want to read about relationships that never happened and you're sad that they didn't happen. And I think that does turn a lot of people away. And I'm not here to say that reading that type of fan fiction is necessarily wrong, because it's not. It has an audience, and if that's what you want to read about, then good for you, read about it. But for me, and especially for the people around me who I talk to on a daily basis and who I'm friends with, if they feel like that's what fan fiction's about, they're definitely going to look at me a little bit differently than if they knew what type of fan fiction I'm actually reading, like Alexandra Quick, which is pretty far from being that type of fan fiction.
Right. And that's kind of the issue. Like when you're starting your fan fiction journey, I guess I'll call it, is because I know, like, I joined Reddit a couple years ago, well before we started this fan fiction, and I was just joining communities, you know, that I was like, oh, you know, that look, you know, it's about Harry Potter. And so I joined the Harry Potter fan fiction subreddit, and yes, there's definitely been some gems in there, but I would say the majority of posts on there are, how do you guys think the book would have went if Harry married Minerva McGonagall, you know, or something like that.
Yikes.
And it's just stuff like that definitely, you know, I use that as in my preconception to be like, that's something I don't really need to read, you know?
Yeah. And so
I completely agree with you guys.
I also don't want to like disparage people. Like, if you really wanted Harry to end up with Hermione and you want to go read a story where that happens, I mean, all the more power to you. I just think it's a bad way to present it to the masses of people who don't know what fan fiction is.
I agree with exactly. that. And, you know, again, if that's what you want to read about, go read about it. I think one of the most amazing things about fan fiction in general, and really about nerd culture in general, is that who cares, right? Like, nerd culture, I think, has a big spot for people to just be exactly who they are, and fan fiction rolls right into that as well, right? I think it's, to the masses, it's probably looked at as one of the more nerdy things you can do is to read fan fiction, right? To say you didn't get enough from the Harry Potter series, or you didn't get enough from the Marvel movies up to this point, and so you go seeking out more than what you got. But the nice thing is that fan fiction builds communities just as well as anything else. I mean, in fact, this podcast, we speak about the Discord all the time. We're part of it, and it's one of the most active Discords I've ever been a part of to this day, and it's built on the back of fan fiction. And so if it doesn't matter what type of fan fiction you're into, go be into that type of fan fiction, right? You do whatever it is that makes you happy, and fan fiction allows you to say, I don't care what you think about what I'm interested in regards to this topic, because I can go read about it and talk about it with people who are also interested in that.
Right. Yeah. And another thing too, that I just thought of, well, one, I just want to say that I'm kind of biased, you know, I'm much more a fan of this like AQ kind of fan fiction where it's like a whole different world kind of thing versus like, oh, what would have happened if Ron was a Slytherin, you know, like just like different endings to the book, I guess. So I just want to throw that caveat out there. But also, another cool thing about fan fiction, and we see it with AQ, we see it with Nightmares of Futures Past even, and I've heard we see it with, you know, these other fan fictions that Sam recommended, that you guys have recommended to me, is that, like, for the longest time, you know, we always think, oh, JKR is the expert on Harry Potter, you know, because obviously it's her world, whatever. But just reading these fan fictions, like, I honestly think that these people who write these fan fictions think about the world way more critically and way more actively than JKR ever did. Like, she did a lot of stuff where it was like, oh, I'm going to throw that in there and not answer it ever. And then, like, these other people are, like, you know, throwing theories left and right. And it's just, it's so, like, I honestly know more about Harry Potter now than I did before I read the first AQ book, just because of all the nuances that Inverarity threw in there.
Well, isn't it beautiful that for people who want more Harry Potter and know they're not going to get it on a quick basis from the creator, can go seek out fan fiction and fill that need for themselves. Like, I'm sure that's what got me looking at fan fiction to begin with, was feeling like I wanted more from the Harry Potter universe than was available. And all of a sudden there's this huge world full of all kinds of ideas, and you can choose to accept them or you don't have to. That's also something I really like about fan fiction, is if you're not pleased with how the main series ended, there's a fan fiction out there for you. If you aren't pleased with the fact that you don't know what happened with the Marauders for the rest of their school careers, there's a fan fiction out there for you. If you're interested in what the wizarding world like is in America, there's a fan fiction out there for you. And that's a really, really neat thing.
or even just different perspectives. Like, I don't mean to drag on about how many different kinds of fan fictions there are, but Brady, I know you're pretty fond of this one in Dumbledore's Army in the Year of Darkness, I believe.
Yeah, I really like that one
a lot. All it is it's book 7 from Neville's perspective at Hogwarts. So, I mean, you're getting the same exact story, the same timeline as canon, but you're just seeing it from someone else's eyes.
It's true. And
yeah, that'd be cool.
It's like, Baylor, like you said, obviously, if we were going to designate an expert, quote unquote, on the Harry Potter world, you would probably have to pick J.K. Rowling. But fan fiction lets people like me and you and everybody else take ownership of the universe that she created, right? We can pick our own truths about the things that didn't appear in the main books. And I really, really like that aspect of it.
Absolutely.
With that little discussion behind us, I think it's probably time for the main event. we did, as we stated in the intro, we did write our own short fan fictions. Now, we've discussed and we think that none of us followed a traditional narrative necessarily for these, but we kept them intentionally short so that we could review them all in one go on the podcast. And I'm nervous and excited, but I think something cool about what we're doing here and something cool about fan fiction is it's good for the people reading it, but it also encourages the people writing it to reach out and to kind of expand their own horizons and take kind of a leap of faith with their own abilities. I know for a fact I haven't written a creative style writing in, I don't know, 10 years probably, not since high school got out. And so while I look at this as kind of a situation where I could possibly be embarrassing myself, it's also an opportunity for me to jump back into that mindset, which is pretty cool too. Now I'm going to throw a question to the two of you. Is there anybody who's dying to start this thing?
Can't say I am.
I'm willing to go first.
I can go ahead and get it over with.
Oh, see, there you go. Baylor's volunteering.
Nice.
I think what we're going to do, Baylor, is we're just going to, Delbert and I are just going to be quiet, and we're going to listen to you read us the fan fiction you wrote, and then we might have a little discussion when you're done.
Okay. That works.
All right. Take it away.
All right. So my fan fiction, I kind of went along the same lines as that one you just referenced, Delbert, kind of the same story, but from a different point of view. So this is called An Elf's Journey from the Eyes of Dobby. Just also want to throw this out there. I thought it was a great idea, poor execution most likely, so hang on. Okay, so here goes. The following is a collection of journal entries from Dobby the House Elf. We jump right in around the time of Harry Potter's infamous sock sleight of hand that ultimately set him free. Of course, you as a devout Harry Potter reader would know that Dobby ultimately landed on his feet and rejoined Harry's story before his untimely death. But much mystery remains from what happened between Harry's second year at school and the fourth. These diary entries should fill that gap. Let's hop in right before his release. And just to clarify, from the story, Dobby always speaks in third person, so these are from Dobby's point of view, but just want to make that obvious. May 10th, 1993. Dobby has been suffering great torture from the Malfoys. Master Malfoy keeps saying something huge should be happening at Hogwarts soon, and with all of these students getting hurt, it makes Dobby nervous. June 14th, 1993. Dobby is a free elf. Harry Potter has set Dobby free. Now where can Dobby find work? August 27th, 1993. Dobby has been enjoying the good life. Not that it's been easy, but Dobby gets to choose what he wants to do when he wants to do it. Unfortunately, times are tough for free elves, if there is another one. Nobody will give Dobby any work even though he wants it. Dobby will check back in next week after a couple of meetings with potential gigs. September 3rd, 1993. Well, Dobby has a job. Dobby was able to secure some bedpan cleaning at St. Mungo's. They wanted to pay Dobby so much money, but I was able to talk them down to 5 sickles per week. For some reason, the other elves just don't agree with Dobby. Dobby will keep trying. They have to see the light soon. December 25th, 1993. Merry Christmas. Dobby is a free elf, and that is the greatest gift Dobby could have received this year. I hope Harry Potter likes the socks Dobby sent him. June 15th, 1994. Man, that Harry Potter finds himself in trouble every year. Maybe Dobby will need to warn him every year before term begins. That Sirius Black is one to reckon with. July 29th, 1994. Professor Dumbledore stopped by Dobby's hovel today. He wants Dobby to come work in the Hogwarts kitchens. Of course, Dobby accepted in a heartbeat. Think how many house elves Dobby can try to make free elves like himself. And Harry Potter is there? Dobby will be in heaven. In other news, these humans want to pay me way too much money. I had to beg Professor Dumbledore to give me less than a galleon per week, but he wouldn't budge past that. And a day off per month? Dobby is going to have to find a hobby. Perhaps another job? Hopefully these excerpts from Dobby's journal will shed some light on Dobby's first year of freedom and his experiences held within. Obviously, house elf rights are still a burning issue in the 21st century, so use this as an inside look at an elf's mind as a reason to vote for candidates that are for elvish welfare and or a known SPEW member. The end.
Well, incredible. Yeah. Really pretty good, to be honest.
Yeah.
The perfect, it's a good format for such a short type of story.
I agree. Yeah. I really especially like that Dobby's getting a hobby.
Yeah. Yeah. And potentially another job as the hobby.
Right. Of course.
So, how much did you have to go back and look at events in the Harry Potter books to kind of go along with your journal entries?
Really, it was, I went back and found the date about when the second book ended, like term ended in the second book, and that was June, according to, you know, many speculation sites, that was June 13th, 1993. And so I put that as the day after. Other than that, I went back and looked to see how much Dumbledore had paid him when he started the Hogwarts kitchens. And that was pretty much it. I pretty much made up everything else in the story.
Well, I thought it was well done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to say, too, that the gift Harry Potter likes his socks Dobby sent him for Christmas. That was kind of a play on because Harry got socks for Christmas that year from the Dursleys, he thought. Well, at least from my story, he thought. And so I thought maybe someone would be like, oh, that's the socks that Harry thought the Dursley sent him that he threw away, even though Dobby sent them to him.
Ouch.
Sure. I like that. I like the references also to the house elves and to SPEW especially. I guess SPEW is something Dobby would probably be okay with.
Probably. Yeah. I like that he's become like a fighter for freedom, kind of. He's like, oh, yes, there's so many elves around. How many can I convince?
While also being desperate to work at the same time.
Right, yeah. Right.
Right.
Well, I thought that was really well done, actually.
Yeah.
I'm a big-time fan of that.
I like it.
Imagine.
I wish like being constricted to like 2 pages was kind of tough because I wanted to kind of do this whole story arc where when Dobby was at St. Mungo's, even though he was working, he was doing like the worst job in the world, but kind of didn't have time. So it is what it is.
Well, you can expand on it in your free time if you want.
True. We'll do an episode on it in the future.
Yeah, if I want to, yeah.
All right. Can you remind us of the title of that again?
It was titled An Elf's Journey from the Eyes of Dobby.
Nice. Well, I liked it. Kudos to you for writing that. Because, you know, as I've been saying, it's kind of a tough job, I think.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, Delbert.
Listen, I can't go next for one serious reason.
What's that?
You just asked Baylor for his title, and I don't have one yet.
All right. All right. I'll go next. That's fine. So, as we stated earlier, I wrote this about an hour before we started recording. I had some ideas, none of them good, and then when I sat down to write about one of those ideas, I thought of something entirely different, and I decided to go with that instead. So, this is my fan fiction called West vs. Botco. Harry, dear, you've had a long day. Come have some dinner before we take the flu over to the Weasleys for dessert. Okay, Jen. I'll just finish reading this article and then I'll be there, said Harry, grinning as he turned his attention back to the Sunday edition of the Daily Prophet. Bertie Bott versus Wyland West, Day 19, read the headline in front of the Wizarding World's hero. Harry chuckled to himself as he settled in to read the article. He didn't really care what the outcome of the long-lasting trial was, but he certainly appreciated the distraction after a long day of meetings in the Auror office. Wyland West, creator of Wyland West's famous 99-flavored ice cream, and the Bertie Bott Corporation, purveyors of Bertie Bott's every-flavored beans, remained locked in litigation over West's accusation that the Bott Corporation stole his signature recipe in order to create a new 100-flavor bean. Things turned nasty today, the 19th day of the trial, as the representatives of the Bott Corporation presented evidence that Wyland West sent secret owls to one of the Bott Corporation's highest-ranking officials, asking for inside information about the creation of sour cream and onion jelly beans. The secret communication between Wyland West and the still unnamed representative of the Bott Corporation really threw us members of the panel for a loop, said Seamus Finnegan, a senior member of the International Confederation of Wizards. Frankly, I feel that the Confederation could be using its time more wisely than to investigate the theft, or lack thereof, of a candy recipe. However, I will continue to scrutinize both parties as much as I can so that I can help ascertain the truth of this matter. In addition to the trial, protesters gathered outside of the American Confederation headquarters. Many of the protesters were arguing that this trial was a massive waste of Confederation funds, while others were complaining that the Confederation was not doing more to quash the sudden uprising of radically minded Muggles and their sudden care about the sanctity of human life while so many of them starved to death in the streets. One protester, who was quickly revealed to be a distant relative of Bertie Bott himself, spent much of the protest handing out pamphlets about the economic value of jelly beans versus ice cream. One thing became certain as the trial was adjourned for the day. There will not be a clear winner, even when the official verdict is read in front of each party's respective government. If the Bertie Bott Corporation did, in fact, steal a recipe from Wyland West, will it really lose too much? The Bertie Bott Corporation has already beaten several wizard rights complaints, as well as paying a high amount of galleons to the Wisdom Gamut to purchase permanent sponsorship rights of ministry events. While Wyland West may return home with a few extra galleons in his pocket, he can certainly not hope to deal any lasting damage to the Bertie Bott Corporation. When asked about this exact thought, Wyland West expressed that his desire is not to damage the reputation of the Bertie Bott Corporation. Instead, he simply hopes to defend what is his and to keep the balance of power in the hands of the little guys everywhere. While we wait for the trial to reach its ever more exciting conclusion, this reporter will continue taking risks by eating as many Bertie Bott's every flavor beans as possible. Harry set the newspaper down and rubbed the fatigue from his eyes. He couldn't help but shake his head at the things that the world had become concerned with over the past few years. The end.
Nice.
Nicely done. I love the tie between the two series. That was fun.
Yeah, I like having both series. I must ask, is there any Depp versus Heard vibes going into this?
Maybe writing? A little bit of that, a little bit of the whole women's rights thing that's going on in the U.S. right now. Really, my only goal when we started this little project was to tie Harry Potter to AQ somehow, and I didn't want to do it in a very overt manner.
Right.
And so I thought referencing two relatively obscure food items would be the best way to go.
I mean, I thought it was great. It was pretty funny hearing, I mean, when the names came up, I kind of broke out in a chuckle. So
yeah, I had to restart reading there.
No, that was cool. I especially think it's funny coming from Harry's point of view, because he's like, oh, I just had to fight the world's darkest wizard, and these people are worried about, you know, the recipes or whatever.
That's kind of what I was really going for. I tried to make it feel like something we could read about in newspapers today, currently, where there's like a massive conflict going on in Ukraine and massive human rights violations happening elsewhere. And instead, most of the articles are just sort of about which actor treated the other one worse. So it was kind of a commentary on what's happening today, but also I I knew I didn't have enough room for a narrative, so I thought a newspaper article would be a fun way to do that.
Not a bad way of doing it.
So
yeah, nicely done.
Delbert, you've had enough time to come up with a title now.
I haven't, so we're going to do it on the fly at the end, I think.
That sounds good. It is your turn. Yours is the longest by about 120 words.
My bad. Went over.
Oh, not your bad. Please treat us. Treat us with the artistry you've come up with.
So I went in a more traditional fashion of writing this first off. I wasn't smart enough to come up with a newspaper article or a diary entry, although I sure wish I had at this point. But for the first time, read aloud, and for the first time, the title... Give me a second. I really don't know what to call this.
Take your time. We can riff on it. You could read it, and then we could help you come up with a title.
Yeah, let's do that.
That sounds good.
Because I honestly have no idea. This is, I told you, Brady, ahead of time, that this is more of a trailer to a fan fiction than an actual fan fiction.
That's good. It just gives us what hope for what to expect in the future from you.
Yeah, okay. All right. It was not often that Albus Dumbledore found himself in a new situation. Alas, at the age of 97, he found himself in unfamiliar territory once again. He had, of course, as long-serving headmaster of Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, been on many visits to speak to Muggle-born witches and wizards, as had many, most of the members of his faculty. However, nobody had ever had to tell a Muggle-born wizard well into their 30s about the wizarding world. Paul Davies had been one of these Muggle-born 2B students, but also, Paul Davies was dead. Tragically killed in an accident at the age of 10, leaving behind his parents and his twin brother. Years passed, and while Albus had been made aware of the tragic loss of the child, he did not continue to spend his time doting over a family he would never meet, or at least so he thought. In the late months of 1977, a magical outburst was detected near Castle Hill in Cambridge, United Kingdom. Multiple Aurors were dispatched in an attempt to control the scene, checking for witnesses, upholding the International Statute of Secrecy, as well as checking for any injured parties present in the incident. When they arrived, they found a crater just to the west of the local Abbey Stadium on the shores of Barnwell Lake. There, in the crater, was a single man, unconscious but seemingly unharmed. Around the crater were damaged trees, burning brush, and singed grasses, but otherwise it seemed as if this event had gone unnoticed by Muggle eyes. The Aurors at the scene quickly fixed the crater and apparated the injured man to St. Mungo's for further evaluation and treatment. St. Mungo's healers were surprisingly unworried by the story the Aurors provided. It seemed to be the consensus that the man sustained no injuries, and the healers were primarily confused trying to identify the man. Normally, a wizard would be easily identifiable by a number of different things: his wand, his looks, or even his magical trace. But when the first two of these resulted in no recognition or of identification, the trace was the last possible tool of measuring who someone was without bringing them into consciousness. When the head healer was called in to perform the rare process, waving his wand in a smooth but stable manner over the patient, articulating each word of the lengthy spell, the results came up as Paul Davies. At first, this was not quite perplexing, but upon reviewing the Master Scroll of St. Mungo's for lists of witches and wizards dead and alive, the shock ensued upon finding out that Paul Davies had been killed 27 years earlier. Head healer Shivenworth had not ever dealt with this before. When someone was dead, they were dead. There was no reversing it. Hell, you couldn't even prevent the killing curse once it was cast. But here it was, evidence that either someone had been resurrected in a crater in Cambridge, or that the magic behind the trace office had been incorrect for the first time in history. Either way, this was a protocol he had not been trained for, and he quickly reached out to the two people he trusted most, Albus Dumbledore and Horace Slughorn. Albus, well, he was Albus, and Slughorn had been a close friend of Shivenworth ever since he had been recruited into the Slug Club during his time in Hogwarts. and while he wasn't really sure that a potion master could solve this quandary, he had a keen mind and could maybe find some answers. Both Albus and Horus showed up within the hour, both by flu, and were briefed on the situation. Shortly after checking on the man, Horus flew home to collect potential potion ingredients that could be used to possibly, and quite experimentally, return memories to someone who may have been obliviated. Albus stayed at the bedside of this Paul, requesting a pensive from Shivenworth, which was quickly fulfilled. As Albus searched through his memories, he recalled at last the memory about the Davies family and dove in. In what seemed like a few seconds, the memory came back to Albus, and with a puzzled gaze, he sat ruminating on the situation before him. No doubt when the man came to, whether by his own will or the use of potions, there would be a lot of questions, least of all, how did he survive? Or was he resurrected? Would he himself even know what had happened to him?
Woo! The end?
The end.
First of all, really good. Really good and not an exaggeration. For something that you didn't spend very long writing, really good.
Yeah, seemed like you had done a lot of research.
I did on Cambridge, and I passed that, just kind of went with whatever I was thinking at the time, but I do like how it turned out. It's just definitely a short look into what this would be as a greater story.
Sure. I mean, that's the thing about all three of these is they're all like kind of, they're like rough drafts and very rough drafts.
Agreed.
Like the very first pass at all of these. And while what you wrote, I think could be turned into something longer form, what I wrote definitely couldn't be. It's more of a one-off short story. Albert, what you've done here, if you wanted to write a fan fiction based on that, you absolutely could.
Right.
Yeah, no, but, you know,
it's a little effort
to do it because you kind of did a little disservice to us not revealing the truth.
Hey, okay, come on. I didn't reveal the truth because I don't know what it is.
Well, you're hearing it here. If you want to write a fan fiction set in that setting or based on that little trailer you just gave us, that little sneak peek, I will be a beta reader for that.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, yeah, I would also do that. Also, fans, coming season 3, this unknown fan fiction name by Gilbert.
True, we need to come up with the name for this now.
That's true.
It's interesting.
I can't tell you any more about the story than what's there because I haven't thought about it.
I'd say something simple like Dumbledore's Quandary.
You know, I did think that exact title while I was trying to think of one fly.
Maybe you just call it A Magical Quandary.
I almost was thinking, like, Dumbledore's Day Off. Like, he's not busy with anything, and then he just runs into something that's never been dealt with in the wizarding world.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Maybe you could call it Slughorn Matters? Question mark?
I did also think Slughorn's Apprentice, but I don't know if he's going to be Slughorn's Apprentice.
Slughorn's Apprentice is nice, too.
Yeah.
I think any of those are nice. But regardless, big pat on the back for you for
writing that.
And frankly, big pat on the back for all three of us.
Yeah.
I'm going to toot our own horn a little bit.
That
was great.
I think all three of them had their merits.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to, like, pick a favorite. And obviously not mine, because who does that? But it's hard to pick because they're just so different.
They are. We did take a different approach, all three of us. And like yours wasn't necessarily a traditional narrative,
right. But
it definitely could lead to a traditional narrative.
Yeah, and like with yours, like I think the writing of it was pretty good, but you're right. There's no way to expand it. Whereas with Baylor's, I wanted to hear more. When he stopped talking, I was like, ooh, where's the next entry?
It's true. It would be interesting to see Dobby's journal entries up until, like, the day he saves Harry from the Malfoy Manor.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That'd be another great point in the 7th book, because we don't see him for quite a while.
Yeah. He starts interacting with other elves, though, so you could even throw in Winky and Creature, right?
Winky, Creature. Oh, the journal entries from him hunting down Creature would be really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn, I could make a whole series.
I don't know. Regardless, I think all three of us did pretty well.
Woo! For 2 pages. Oh, yeah. I mean, 2 or less pages.
Yeah.
Impressive.
And with that being said, if anybody listening has thoughts or critiques on the little stories you've just heard us read, please feel free to write those in. We are happy to address those and look at them. I can't promise that I'm going to continue with my fan fiction authoring career, but it looks promising for the two of you. So
I'll give open permission without any trademarks or anything. So I don't know why that matters for anyone to pick up the mantle.
Don't say that, because Hogwarts Legacy 2 could be about that.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
Oh,
nice.
With that being said, go ahead, Baylor.
I did want to say that I'm going to add, if you guys are okay with it, add a link in our link tree to each one of our short fan fictions. That way other people can read them on, you know, in their own time if they didn't like us reading them.
I think that that's a good idea.
Check those out there.
Sure.
I do think that's a good idea.
Send mine over.
Sounds good.
With that being said, I think that's it for today's episode. It's a relatively short one compared to what we normally do, especially compared to a two-hour finale we released a couple of weeks ago. But this was one of my favorite episodes to record, actually.
It was fun.
It was fun. It was something different. And I like it when we can have discussions outside of AQ that are like relevant still, but outside and a little bit more real world.
Right.
So yeah. Maybe we'll look to incorporate more of that going forward.
It is definitely fun to talk about that stuff. Just cause our first season was mainly AQ based. So I'm sure our valuable listeners are definitely wondering our thoughts on other things involved in the universe.
Well, I'm wondering your guys' thoughts on other things in the universe, too. So it works out all the way around.
Definitely.
I think we should do this as a rotating thing. At the end of book two, we'll rewrite our fan fictions. But this time I have to do a court case. You have to do a journal entry, Brady. And Baylor's got to do a...
Baylor has to write chapter one of your fan
fiction. Oh, we write this one chapter at a time.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm on. I'm on board.
All right. We'll consider that moving forward. But before we get out of here, I wanted to remind everybody, we do have social media, Instagram and Twitter @the_RM podcast. We have an email address that you can send any thoughts you want to us, especially if they're relevant to the podcast. But even if they're not, you know, you want to tell us what your dog's name is. You want to tell us what kind of car you drive, anything like that. Feel free to do so. Our email address is remedialmagicpodcast@gmail.com. You can find all that stuff in the link tree in our description below the podcast. I also want to once again beg for reviews. We have 12 5-star reviews on iTunes and 14 on Spotify now. So we're trending upward and we'd like to continue that. But as always, we definitely appreciate everybody who's listening anyways, and so if listening's all you do, that's just fine with us. Until then, good night.
Good night.
Good night.